There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
I didn't march 1 yard, 1 foot for the same sex to get married, and they're taking wrong and making it right, and taking right, making it wrong.
Those of us who are inspired by Judeo-Christian values, we're not seeking to sit in judgment of anyone. But we know that there are fundamental truths proven through thousands of years of human history.
I refer to Joel Osteen's theology of the tyranny of positive thinking, where everybody must say positive things and think positive thoughts in order to be blessed by God.
That's the difference between preaching about Christ, where you basically just cut him apart and use him however you see fit, versus preaching Christ.
Pro Football Hall of Fame wives, love issues, etc.
I don't know if it's, I do not know why a governor would want to do this. The governor of Missouri, Jay Nixon, is in a very pro-life state. Missouri is one of the most pro-life states that there is. That doesn't mean that it's wholly pro-life, but it is a leader in terms of legislation, good legislation that is often quite incremental, not only in reducing the number of abortions and places where abortions can be had in the state, but also just common sense regulation of an industry that makes its money killing the unborn. And here is Jay Nixon, who has been, well, he hasn't been necessarily a major foe of the pro-life movement in Missouri, deciding to veto, against the vast majority, I think, of the legislature, deciding to veto a bill that would simply have extended the waiting period before receiving an abortion from 24 to 72 hours. And I can't figure out why he's done it. I know why he said he's done it, but he said even if that wouldn't have been the case, he still would have vetoed it. Trying to figure out what's going on. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Pam Fichter of Missouri Right to Life about Missouri Governor Jay Nixon's veto of an abortion waiting period bill. A little bit later, Chris Roseborough will join us to give us an update on Mars Hill Church in Seattle and its senior pastor, Mark Driscoll. More publishing troubles and some financial troubles for that church and its satellites. Pastor Ted Giese will join us to review the movie Transformers: Age of Extinction. And then in hour two of this Thursday afternoon's Issues Etc., Tad Armstrong will join us. He's author of the book called It's Okay to Say God, Prelude to a Constitutional Renaissance. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court's ruling on the Health and Human Services contraception mandate and get a legal perspective on that landmark case from the Supreme Court. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. You can also leave a question or a comment for hour two when we're talking with Tad Armstrong about the HHS mandate and the Hobby Lobby case from the Supreme Court. Leave a question, a comment there on that legal perspective at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pam Fichter is a regular guest. She's president of Missouri Right to Life. Pam, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks so much. Good to be with you.
This is what the governor said about the reason for vetoing the 72-hour waiting period for abortions in his state of Missouri. Jay Nixon said that the bill's lack of an exception for victims of rape and incest was, quote, a glaring omission that was, quote, wholly insensitive to women who find themselves in horrific circumstances. But even if the bill had contained such an exception, Jay Nixon said he would have vetoed it anyway. What's he saying? What's your reaction?
Well, you know, as pro-abortion people have a tendency to do, they like to focus on the very rare extreme cases. We are looking at the overwhelming majority of cases of abortions of women in crisis pregnancies that are not due to a sexual assault. And I think it's very, very disappointing that the governor is choosing not to give women and their unborn children this added protection of this 72-hour waiting period. And as he said, you know, he brings out extreme cases, but in his own words, he would have vetoed it anyway. So he is denying this protection to women in very, very tough situations who need time to consider all of their options and the risk to themselves, and certainly need to consider the profound decision to end the life of their unborn child.
Is the veto sustainable, given how this passed through the legislature of Missouri?
Well, I guess we can find out. September 10th will be the veto override session. Republican leadership will be deciding whether or not to seek an override on that. It passed in the House by 111-39. It takes 109 to override, so we'd obviously have the votes to override if we maintain all of those votes, if everyone is present and voting as they did for the original bill. In the Senate, it's a little closer. We're one vote shy. It was 22-9. And for the two-thirds, we need 23. So we'll be working on getting those and getting that, you know, maintaining the votes in the House.
So what is Jay Nixon's track record when it comes to pro-life legislation? Because Missouri has been, I think we've even talked about it several times, Pam, has been in many ways among the leaders in the United States in this kind of legislation.
Well, Missouri has always been a bellwether state for pro-life legislation. I mean, we've led the way on partial birth abortion ban, on a woman's right to know, on the 24-hour waiting period, on parental consent. We've banned webcam abortions. You know, we really have led the way. Now, what the governor has done on the webcam abortion ban and the 20-week abortion ban was he just allowed those bills to become law. He had the option of either vetoing them, signing them, or basically ignoring them, and then they automatically become law after a certain time frame. And that's what he did the last 2 years. Now, this year, he's chosen to veto this bill, and, you know, who knows? And maybe he thinks the votes aren't there to override. Maybe he wanted to keep his pro-abortion supporters happy by vetoing this bill. So it's, you know, it's kind of hard to get into his mind on this, but we're certainly going to try to generate as much grassroots support. Missouri is a pro-life state. It's a bipartisan pro-life state, and we're just going to encourage all Missouri citizens to contact their senators and their representatives and ask for their support of an override of this veto.
So is it safe to say that to this point, at least in the cases that you cited there, Governor Nixon has not stood in the way of common sense pro-life legislation?
That's true. And, you know, the votes on each of these was a little different. I'm not sure exactly what the votes were. I think they were a little stronger. But it may have been just his acknowledging the political reality that he felt that his veto would have been overridden on these previous bills, which is why he didn't veto. And that might be an indication that he thinks he has, that the votes aren't there to override for this piece of legislation.
I'd like your reaction to some of the proponents of for abortion in Missouri and their reaction to the governor's veto. This comes from Jeffrey Mittman, who's executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Missouri. He said, this bill isn't about helping women. He called it an intrusion into private medical decisions. What's your response?
Well, whenever we, you know, anyone, I'm going to be having surgery later this summer. You know, I've already had consultations. I've had the opportunity to look at the options of types of surgery. I've had the opportunity to consider all of the risks to myself. And, you know, so I've had that chance to do that. When you have someone making such an incredible decision as to whether or not to end the life of another human being, 3 days certainly doesn't seem to be an excessive amount, especially if you have someone who may be coerced into making a decision, you know, who may be having some very difficult times as far as being pressured into it, might be having, you know, might be kicked out of their home. So the pressure that's brought on them can be tremendous. And having this extra time to kind of let the information on the alternatives and the risks, you know, really for them to truly understand them and be given all of that information doesn't seem to me to be an excessive requirement.
Paula Giannino, president of the political arm of Planned Parenthood for the St. Louis region in Southwest Missouri, said this, that this bill that the governor vetoed, permitting a 72-hour waiting time before an abortion, she said that it would block access to safe legal abortion and make it more difficult for women to get the care they need. How would you respond to that?
Well, you know, it's not surprising that Paula Giannino would come out with a statement like that, that we have one remaining abortion clinic in Missouri, and it is the clinic that the Planned Parenthood clinic in St. Louis in Central West End. And I've been at that clinic many times, and you see women going in all the time, sadly, and there are counselors there trying to give them information, but I don't see anyone being blocked from accessing that. And again, they try to sound alarmist. Why do they object to women having time to consider what they're about to do? They make a great deal of money from performing abortions, and I think you have to take whatever they say with a grain of salt.
So how would you argue in a minute here, in the time left to us, how would you argue positively in favor of tripling the waiting period from 24 to 72 hours for women in Missouri seeking an abortion?
I think that unborn children deserve this time. I think that women deserve better than abortion. And I think women in crisis pregnancies deserve the time that to fully consider all of their options. And I think that putting this requirement in law is a great gift to women and their unborn children. And I certainly hope that we are able to overcome this veto.
Pam Fichter is president of Missouri Right to Life. You'll find a link to Missouri Right to Life at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pam, keep up the good work, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back on this Thursday, we're going to spend some time talking with Chris Roseborough, host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Get an update with him on Mars Hill Church in Seattle and its senior pastor, Mark Driscoll.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, gethsemane-lcms.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You know that when your eyes close here, that when they open there, the first face you'll see, like the blind man, is Jesus's.
Pastor Chris Roseborough, host of Fighting for the Faith, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
This is the gospel. It's Jesus. And when you take these texts and make them about you, you miss Him. And you leave yourself with no hope. And our hope is in Him.
You can listen to Chris's entire presentation and teachings by Craig Parton, Matt Harrison, Al Schmidt, Will Whedon, and Jonathan Fisk on a new audio DVD for the 2014 Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.